Church. When I was thinking about putting the lesson together, I was trying to decide what I wanted to talk about. And Apostle Paul came to my mind. We all know about Paul's background before he was converted. We know that he did some pretty horrendous things. One being, he went to different cities and different churches. And he persecuted Christians. God was not pleased with Paul's behavior. We know that on his way to Damascus, he was struck blind. And he was given specific instructions in terms of what he needed to do in order for his sight to be restored. We know that Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament books. We know that he wrote many, many letters to Christians, churches throughout the world. What's even more important is after Paul's conversion, God chose him to take his word to all of the Jews and the Gentiles and the people of Israel throughout the world. Paul went on to become one of the most faithful, inspiring, influential disciples in the Bible. He wrote letters, as I emphasized, to Christians, always encouraging them to obey God and keep his commandments. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he spoke this to the Galatian Christians. He said, "For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free." He was encouraging the Galatian Christians to stand firm. He meant stand firm on the word of God. He encouraged them. He says, "Then do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of bondage." Now, you might be wondering, what is this yoke of bondage that Paul is speaking of? Well, I think we all know that it's the little three-letter word, sin. Church, as Christians, we must never, ever forget what Christ Jesus did for us. We must never forget that our freedom from sin cost God his only begotten Son. In John 3, 16 through 17, it reads that God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. You know, when we think about this passage of Scripture, it paints a beautiful picture of heaven. A place where the soul never dies. A place where there will be no pain, no suffering, no shedding of tears. You know, there are so many people in the world today that are bogged down in sin. And it's sad to say that many will never come to repentance. Because of this, many will be lost. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We all know that this redemption is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So the question is, how can we as Christians and anyone in the world avoid a sinful nature? First, we must walk by the Spirit and not in the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 reads, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other," meaning that the Spirit would never agree with the flesh, and the flesh would never agree with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, Paul talks about the armor of God. He says, "Put on all the armor that God gives so that you can defend yourself against the devil's tricks." He says, "We're not fighting against humans. We're fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness." He encourages us to put on all the armor that God gives. Then he says, "When the evil days come, you will be able to defend yourself. When the battle is over, you will still be standing firm." Standing firm means standing on the Word of God. In order to have a clean spirit from sin, it requires prayer. We must always have a prayerful attitude. We must pray for strength day by day. We should always let Jesus be our example. In Luke chapter 22, verses 42 through 33, Jesus prayed, "Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." In verse 43, it says, "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." Can you just imagine what was happening when Jesus was praying? Can you just imagine what he was feeling? He was fixing to be crucified. He was going to be crucified for the sin of the world. In Psalms chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, David prayed, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray." Let me encourage each and every one of you. The greatest weapon we have to help us defeat sin is God's Word. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 5, it reads, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Church, this verse conveys the message that God's word serves as a guiding light for our life journey. Just as a lamp illuminates a dark path, the teaching and the principles found in this scripture can provide us with wisdom and direction during our lifetime in these uncertain times. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 through 17, it reads above, "All taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." We know the wicked one is the devil. It says, "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." The sword of the Spirit is God's word, which is the Spirit that God gives us through His word that directs our steps, our thoughts, and all of the things that we do from the time we wake up in the morning until we go to bed at night. Finally, Philippians 4:13 encourages us that as Christians, we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. At this time, church, we sing a song that says, "Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late when we lay our bodies down to sleep tonight. There's no guarantee we're going to open our eyes the next morning." So at this time, if there is anything in anyone's life that needs to be tweaked, something we think maybe we need to take care of, this is what the invitation is. It's the invitation offered to all. So at this time, Brother Trey is going to lead us in the song of invitation.
Oh, Lord, bless this glory to you.